Blog Talk Radio.
Tower in Moscow during the election about his campaign ties
what Russia has done to campaign, yes, there is the question of obstruction of justice, which I believe has already been proven by Trump's own actions in public. Yes, there are all the people in Trump's circles who have been charged with or have admitted to lying about any number of things, including their contacts with the Russians. But beyond all that, we now have an actual and one assumes provable crime, a federal crime, and the president is his architect. Trump likes to say on the issue of immigration that if we don't have a border, we don't have a country. I say that if we don't have justice, we don't have a country. America is a country of laws, and if we are to believe that and not allow that to become a perversion, no man or woman can be above the law. As Thomas Paine wrote in his 1776 pamphlet, Common Sense, in America, the law is king, for as an absolute government, the king is law. So in free countries, the law ought to be king, and there ought to be no other. And yet, Trump and his team, and to some degree his supporters in Congress, seem to view Trump as very much above the law, or at least some laws. The defense is bizarre. Since he is the president, there are laws he isn't obliged to obey. In other words, it's permissible for him to break some laws, but not others. Last year, one of the president's lawyers went even further, claiming that the president cannot obstruct justice because he is chief law enforcement officer under the Constitution's Article 2 and has every right to express his view of any case. This all holds the potential to further make mockery of a system of justice that already privileges power. America's jails are already filled to the brim with people who have been charged with a crime, but not yet convicted of one. According to Prison Policy Initiative, 70% of people in local jails are not convicted of any crime. Their primary infraction is that they are poor and powerless. The justice system doesn't coddle them, it crushes them. And yet people keep making excuses for Trump. We haven't yet seen evidence of collusion. Yes, he lies, but it's mostly rhetoric. So what? He paid off a porn star to spare his family shame. No, no, no. According to prosecutors, Trump directed Cohen to commit a felony. A felony, for those that don't know, is a crime that is punishable by more than 1 year in prison. Then he lied about it and either allowed or obstructed others to lie about it on his behalf. He misled the American people through a conspiracy of lies, and he did so to help attain and then maintain his presidency. As the New York Times pointed out Saturday, prosecutors have effectively accused the president of defrauding voters, questioning the legitimacy of his victory. There simply must be consequences for such brazen act of lawlessness. Now I'm under no illusion that Trump will be indicted as a sitting president or that any efforts to impeach him will prove successful. But at some point, his term will end, and at that point, the statute of limitations may not have expired. As the Times put it, the prosecutors in New York have examined the statutes of limitations on campaign finance violations, believe charges could be brought against Trump if he's not reelected, according to a person briefed on the matter. As the New York Magazine put it in the headline, Trump 2020 shaping up to be a campaign to stay out of prison. The statute of limitations for finance for campaign finance violations is 5 years. Re-election may well be Trump's only hope of evading justice. But that also gives voters enormous power in 2020. They won't just be selecting the next president and determining the direction of the country. They may also be deciding whether or not a president will be tried, convicted, and imprisoned for the first time in the country's history. This is a weighty responsibility, but it is a necessary one. We have to prove that our institutions are more important than our ideologies, that the dream, the whispered, precious possibility of America cannot be trampled by the corrupt and the fraudulent, the venal and the lecherous. America, or American, has to prove that it can indeed survive a criminal presidency. Yeah, that's a powerful piece by Mr. Charles Blow. It was published on December 9th, Sunday. And it basically sums up where we're at. I mean, basically, most of us knew that. I mean, this is not a revelation. I think what's going to be a revelation, it's what Mueller has in the report, which by all conservative estimates, is going to be a bombshell. It really is. And my thing is that I don't want Pence in it. Pence is going to be worse. I doubt Pence can be, elected president in 2020. But even if they throw Trump out, say the Senate, 53 senators are Republican, grow a spine, and, just make an assumption that the Mueller report is going to be as explosive as it is deemed to be or will be, they impeach him, then Pence will assume the office of the presidency. But I think that the better thing, and I agree with somebody on one of the talk shows, I can't think of who it was. Senator that caucuses with the Democrats from one of the New England states. I can't think of his name right now. But he said that we should deal with Trump politically. In other words, get him out of office in 2020, and then let the chips fall where they may. Because from what I understand, New York State prosecutors are looking at bringing charges against him. And you have to remember that beyond an investigation by Mueller, there is a criminal investigation open by New York State into another explosive revelation in the New York Times regarding his family's or his father's transfer of wealth to him and his siblings. And one of his sisters, I don't know if she's older or younger, I would assume that she's younger, is a sitting federal judge. So that would be an impeachable offense for her if they are found to have engaged in the article. I mean, it's very well documented and everything. I mean, they left nothing to chance. So the apologists coming out of the woodwork saying that there, nothing to see here. You don't have to be an accountant or a tax attorney to see that the revelations in that piece are startling. I think we're going to post a link if I have the time. I don't know. I have a couple of things to do after the show, but we'll post a link to that piece because it is really striking. So he is under a significant legal jeopardy if he doesn't become reelected. And this is what Blow is saying, and I'm saying that there are a lot of support for this guy, despite these revelations. And but what is this guy's name? The senator from it's right on the tip of my tongue and I can't think of the guy's name. But he took the words literally right out of my mouth. That if Trump is impeached, what's going to happen is his people, or his supporters are thinking that this is a soft coup against him. And what they're going to do is they're going to, I don't know what they're going to do, but it's going to be ugly. Whatever happens, it's going to be very, 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 very ugly. So just keep that in mind, boys and girls. So, and buckle up because, things are heating up now. I mean, you could see everything is going down here really, really quickly for this guy. So, let's just stay tuned and see what happens in the interim. Let's take I didn't really... Like I said, I was discombobulated. I had a lot of stuff on my mind, and I have a lot of stuff to do, and I'm really set up here. And I really, at the end of the year, God willing, what I'd like to do is I'd like to, create some new spots. I just have not had the time. There's a finite amount of time in a day, try to use as much of it productively as possible. You know, I'm gonna get this spot off. I see some spots that that need to be updated, so we're gonna take care of that. But meanwhile, let's take a break, come back on the other side of the break and finish talking.
Looking for a hip multimedia management company that can manage you, your service, product, or your next multimedia project? Let East New York Management take you, your service, or your product to the next level. At East New York Management, we can produce and post-produce your project into a sleek finished product. We write scripts, slow-mo, blurbs, and spots that are tight, hot, and bumpy. Liners that flow smoothly with wit as well as with verb. We also manage talent, produce, and post-produce shows that are on the cutting edge, reflecting the undeniable influence of hip-hop on pop culture. The most important thing that we can bring to your product is energy, enthusiasm, and a love for the creative process. Look for us on the World Wide Web at www.eastnewyorkmanagement.net. Call us at 347-846-8447 or email us at contact@eastnewyorkmanagement.net. Do not waste another minute with whack, boring, and uncreative multimedia and talent management companies. Bring your talent or project to East New York Management. Let East New York Management take you, your service, or your product to the next level.
And we're back here at Market and Pulpit International, New York edition with yours truly, Dennis Shipman. 36 degrees and sunny here in Brooklyn, New York, and we were talking on the other side of the break about situation with the Mueller investigation heating up, you know, and the other investigation that no one is talking about, the tax investigation by New York Department of Taxation and Finance, that could also not only land Trump, but his siblings, who are all these people are all elderly. They aren't young folk, you know, in jail for the rest of their lives, or even if the statute of limitations has told, they still face significant civil liability that could basically ruin them. I mean, it would be ruinous, you know, could leave them destitute. That's where they are at. So that's where we're at. And you know, it's just been troubling and problematic for a lot of reasons that this guy got in there. But you know, I talk a lot about the fact that Trump also enjoys not a significant but a certain amount of, you know, I had of support from, you know, African-American males, you know, males. They were doing a breakdown. It was white males. He enjoys 50% support of males over 50. He enjoys 50% support. And males without a college degree or a high school diploma, we're assuming that they have a high school diploma, 50%. So you can see where that pocket is. These are laborers. These are, you know, working class folk. I mean, I'm a working class folk also, but I'm just saying that, you know, I'm a different, you know, there are different classes of working folk, you know. That's why they say lower class or lower middle class and upper middle class, and then you have the extremely wealthy and the poor. So these people are on the, you know, basically on the two rungs of that middle classification, you know, lower and middle class. And they're with the guy. I mean, you know, they he speaks their language. They love him. And I got into it an exchange with you know, a member of a group on Facebook. And it's comprised primarily of African-American males. And so when I initially joined, I would say, excuse me, about 4 or 5 months ago or something like that, this particular group, you know, one of the guys was on there. I noticed the thread right away, you know, really, I mean, lauding Trump's book, The Art of the is the best thing that was ever written, and his university, man, I took courses there, it was great, it was fantastic. I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it. And, you know, fortunately, a couple of brothers were, you know, pushing back iteration of Chump the Brain Dead comic Carnival Barker. And I don't know, lent my 2 cents, and the guy, I don't want to say he attacked me, but he, didn't appreciate my perspective. And then went on to attack New York. Oh, he's from Florida. That's what it was. I think what I had said is that, something to the effect that, you guys, allow, vigilantes and, white males to, gun down, young brothers listening to music too loud in their car. So, walking home from the store with Skittles in their pockets and the, I don't know about New York. And he said something negative about the city. Well, it's crime ridden, which is not, for a major city, a large city. I grew up in New York, and I could tell you, when crime really became rampant and out of control, which was probably the late 60s when the police department was wholly corrupt. I'm not saying it isn't now, but it was more so then. Late 60s. And I would say the entire 70s all the way into the 80s before they started cleaning it up. Started in the Dinkins administration. And then Giuliani came in and went roughshod. People's constitutional rights. He was a nightmare from New York. But he's generally credited with cleaning up the city, which isn't true. The city became safer under... under the Dinkins administration, David Dinkins, the first and only black mayor of New York. The point I'm trying to make is that this guy on Facebook was an obvious supporter of Trump, and I find a lot of them. Man, there was one guy on another group in another group. He left, obviously. Nobody wanted him around. I mean, it's a lot of sisters on this particular group. The sisters tried to save us, man. They voted for Hillary Clinton, like almost 90%. I mean, they went for her, it might not have been that high. It might have been high 70s, but, I would say there was still overwhelming support, and they tried to save us, man. And, conscious sister, man, if you could, conscious sister, man, is worth her weight in gold, I'm telling you. It's the unconscious ones I had a problem with, whether they be male or female. So at any rate, they really lashed out at this guy because he was all in for Trump. Had to be an older gentleman. I'm just assuming, but I would, the way he was talking and he wrote relatively well. I think he was a truck driver, but he wasn't a dummy, but he was all in for Trump, and I, gave him some facts because, he's reading the old party line, of Fox News. And unfortunately, his facts were not correct. So, he disappeared, and that happened. But I guess the broader point that I'm trying to make is that there are a lot of brothers that support Trump. And I think they're in that category that one of those three cat. Well, obviously, they couldn't be in one of the categories, which is white males. But the other two categories they're certainly in, and these are the barbershop cats, man. I told you some years ago, I would say 16 or late 15 or something like that there. I sit in a barbershop I used to frequent. I don't go there any longer, not because of that incident, simply because I have no reason to go over there any longer. Was a guy in there, said he was ex-Air Force, and, I hate to say it, paint a broad picture of a whole bunch of guys, And this is how Trump talks. So when you hear people saying that, well, like, you know, it's my gut instinct, or, you know, this is what I believe in, and that's fine that you could believe whatever you want to believe. I mean, this is a free country, and, you know, but if you're going to engage in a dialogue, you know, that's based on authenticity, you know, let's put it that way, then you have to have facts. I mean, there's no way around it. You have to come with facts. And this gentleman didn't have it. I don't believe he's gonna, you know, do this, that, or the other. And he got in there and probably did everything that we knew he was gonna do. So, you know, I'd like to see the guy's face now, but he's probably still a supporter. So, it wouldn't matter what he. Why it's so dangerous, because he's gotten away with more misfeasance and corruption than any politician. I'm not even talking about a president. Any politician I've ever seen in my life, and that's a fact. He has literally gotten a get-out-of-jail-free card from the Republican-dominated Senate. Because they, you know, to him, he's a unilateral white dream. That's the bottom line. I mean, you know, basically, you know, if you pass our legislation, we'll leave you alone. And that's the kind of corrupt quid pro quo that has America looking like a banana republic to the rest of the world. I mean, there's no doubt about it, you know. We're not respected any longer. And for people that think that we are, man, you are delusional. You know, he has closed that door behind him. So I don't know how long it's going to take the United States to regain its stature on the world stage, if ever. I mean, it's going to take a tremendous amount of work, and integrity, and you know, a whole bunch of things. So I don't know where we're going with this, but, you know, it's been a nightmare. And it's going to get worse, because what's going to happen is this guy is like a cornered animal now. And who knows what he's most dangerous. As a matter of fact, you know, his chief of staff is leaving. We know, you know, Kelly, General Kelly, you know, is a liar herself. Another one, you know, attack black congresswoman. Well, anyway, let's talk about that next week and come back. But Nick Ayers, a young kid, I think he's like 30-ish, used to be Vice President Pence's chief of staff, declined the position. He didn't want it. He knows that he's leaving the administration altogether and returning to Georgia, from what I understand. So, you know, he's seen the handwriting on the wall, and I think everybody has, so. That's where we're at with that. We're going to come back next week with more, you know, because this is going to be more information and news. And we'll have it right here for you, Mark and Bulbert, in the National New York Edition, with yours truly, Dennis Shipman. Have a nice day.